You're listening to the Apple Viz Podcast.
Welcome to What's New in iOS 11. I am Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous. In this particular podcast, I'm going to show you some new features and some things have changed within iOS 11. And this cast is going to be mostly the things you're going to find within the settings area. That's going to cover the new storage management things they've set up. It's also going to go show you some tweak they've done in the background app refresh. They have created a whole new section for account and password that has broken away from the mail and calendar, which is now separate within the settings. A little bit of discussions of the AirDrop and the emergency SOS. All right. I'm also going to cover and show you a new app by Apple called Files. This has replaced the iCloud Drive. So a lot of you probably use that in the iOS 10. That is gone, and you will hear in this podcast of what is replaced with. And then lastly, I'm going to show you a pretty cool hidden trick how to share your Wi-Fi password with other people with an iPhone. All right, so let's get going. There's a new revamped iPhone store settings. So under the Apple settings, go to General, and then you get to the button where it says
iPhone storage button.
iPhone storage. I'm going to go ahead and double tap on here.
Select it. General. Back button.
Again, this is not going to be a real in-depth. I just want to show you some of the highlights and some things that may be of interest here.
iPhone storage. Heading.
Okay.
iPhone 16.2 gigabytes of 128 gigabytes used. Dimmed. iPhone 16.2 gigabytes of 128 gigabytes used. Apps 6% dimmed.
So it tells you how much storage you are using versus on the devices itself. So I have a 128 gig device. I'm using very small 6% imprint. But the cool thing about this is I want to show you.
Recommendations.
You can do some things here.
Show all button.
I can show all the recommendations here.
Offload unused apps. Off button.
Offload used apps. This is a really cool new feature. I'm going to have this described to you by their little hints here.
Save 1.57 gigabytes. Automatically offload unused apps when you're low on storage. Your documents and data will be saved.
So, exactly what it does. So, if any time you have a really small device, like a smaller device that you're always running out of space, I get it. When I used to have those smaller phones, I was always running out of space. So, what it's going to do, if you turn that option on,
offload unused apps off. Button.
You put that one on, it will automatically detect what apps you haven't used for a long time, and it will remove the app but saves the settings and documents behind those apps. So it doesn't physically remove the app from the home screen, for example. So if there's an app there that you don't use very often, it's still going to show up, but it's going to have this little iCloud cloud next to the icon. That just basically is saying that it's here, but it's not gone completely. So you can just redouble tap that app and it will download the app again, so if you want to use it. So this is going to be a great little item for people that keeps running out of space, and this is here for your use. I'll show you a little bit more here.
Save 1.57 gigabytes. Automatically offload unused apps when you're low on storage. Your documents and data will be saved.
So it's giving me a suggestion. So it's recommending that there's a 1.6 gigs worth of apps that I can get rid of because I don't use very often. For example, there's some games I haven't touched for a long time, especially when I've been using the iOS 11. I'll show you a couple of those.
Review large attachments button.
You can review the large attachments that has been included. Those you can remove as well.
See photos, videos, and attachments taking up storage and messages and consider deleting them.
Mm-hmm. And these are the recommendations, so I'm going to keep going to the right.
The Inquisitor, 845.1 megabyte, never used, button.
So, in this case, I have played with the game, but since I installed the iOS 11, it reset the information. So, the Inquisitor game is taking 800 meg. That's a lot of space. So, it's just recommending, hey, you never used this, so you should just kind of just get rid of this if you want to get rid of that. So, if you can go ahead and double tap here.
Selected. Back button.
I'm going to show you the options you have here.
The Inquisitor. Heading. The Inquisitor. Version 1. 4. 1. Association or Cultural DI Promotion or Social Audio Games.
Pretty cool. It gives you the version.
App size, 845.1 megabyte.
Okay.
Documents and data, 12 kilobytes.
So it's taking a very small imprint of documents and data.
Offload app button.
Okay. Now, you're given two options. You can offload this app. So I can just double tap that. It offloads the app, and it keeps the document settings. So any games settings you've done here won't be lost, and you just offload the app. Now, the next option down.
This will free up storage used by the app, but keep its documents and data. Reinstalling the app will place back your data if the app is still available in the App Store.
Exactly.
Delete app button.
And then you got the delete option. So you got the, you can just double tap on delete, and boom, that just removes the app. So that is the new iPhone Store settings, which is pretty handy. And I wanted to show you that because it's not always a bad idea to go check it out. So that's one of the new iOS 11 features. There's a brand new accounts and password section in the settings. And basically, essentially, it has redesigned how the accounts and password are being stored. So look, give me show you something here. So when you go into settings now, you're going to see a new option here. It's called accounts and passwords.
Accounts and passwords button.
So essentially, they have also taking mail and calendar apart too. So if I swipe to the right of here,
mail,
there's
button.
The mail down contacts, here a little bit more,
calendar, button.
And a calendar. So they essentially have their own set of their own settings. So before, we used to go into this mail calendar and went in there, and that's when we could create all these accounts and stuff like that for the mail and calendar. That is no longer the case. So you are not going to find those accounts under the mail and calendar. You'll have to go under the accounts and passwords. So let me go up there.
Contacts, mail, button, accounts and passwords.
Double
button.
Tap on that.
Selected, settings.
Okay. So essentially, they put everything into one pile in here. So let me show you what they have in here.
Accounts and passwords, heading, app and website passwords, button.
So the apps and web passwords are now located in this area. So this is where you find your password that you save through all your Safari stuff. And if I keep going to the right.
Accounts, heading.
Okay, here are the accounts. I have quite a bit of few accounts, but you'll hear these accounts.
iCloud, iCloud Drive, contacts, calendars, Safari, and one more. Button.
So this is my iCloud account.
Thomas Domville, Outlook, mail, button.
So this is my Outlook account. You can hear that mail is turned on. If I double tap in there, I can go in there and turn on calendar, contacts, and those sort of things. So you have to come in here and to make those changes to those. Okay. And now you can also, let me make sure.
Characters.
Okay. As I go to the other accounts.
The Mickey House, Outlook, mail, button. Thomas Domville, Gmail, inactive.
Now, you'll have to still double tap in these, and you know, at the very bottom of those is your delete. So that's how you delete the accounts. So these are all my email accounts.
Thomas Domville, Yahoo, and subscribe calendars. Kansas City Chiefs calendar, NFL, U.S. men's soccer, Sporting Kansas City calendar, MLS, UK holidays, Kansas City Royals 2017 season.
So that is where I have my subscription to all my calendars. I have quite a bit, so it's put in here as well. And then if you're asking, well, how do I create new accounts? No problems. It's the next one down.
Add account button.
Add account. And that's where you can add account. So they have separated everything out into separate pieces. So I just want to show you that because that'll be very important to you. There's been a slight change in the background app refresh. This is an area that is essential for everybody to check out because you don't want things being running in the background. But again, I'm not going to go into in depth, but I'm going to show you what has changed in the background app refresh. That might pertain to you and may be important to you. To me, it's not so much of a change that I would be willing to do, but it's an option. So I'm going to show you the background app refresh is located from the Apple settings down to general, and then you get to
background app refresh button.
Background app refresh. So I'm going to double tap on here.
Selected. General. Back button.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's new.
Background app refresh. Heading.
All right. One more.
Background app refresh. On button.
All right, right here, if you double tap on this one,
okay, selected, background app refresh. Back
this
button.
Is what's new. You can now specify when the background app refresh works. So for those people that don't want the background app refresh running all the time, now you offer two options, or actually three options. So I'm going to show you those.
Background app refresh. Heading. Mm-hmm. Off.
Now you can have the usual generic on or off. So that's your first item. The second item.
Wi-Fi.
You can just have it set to Wi-Fi only. So it will do background app refresh just when you're on the Wi-Fi, or
selected Wi-Fi and cellular data.
That's the last third one. Now you can say, I want to use the background app refresh in the cell and Wi-Fi. So it's going to occur all three areas. So you can have it off, just Wi-Fi, and now cell and Wi-Fi. That is a nice little feature. I want to point that out to you. So those people have the background app refresh turned off all the time. You might want to reconsider it and turn on the Wi-Fi aspect of it so it's not chewing up your data. So this is a pretty cool feature. So there you go. There's a new option here. There's also some new features that I want to show you that you can take advantage of your NFID chip on your phone. For those that are not aware of the NFID, you use that when you do Apple Pay. So basically, there's a chip on your phone that it's a near field identification chip. So when you put your phone near to a payment device, it automatically detects it and implement the payment. However, Apple is starting to expand what we can use with their NFID chip. So I'm going to show you a couple examples here. I'm really excited about these things. Now, if I only can remember when to use it, that will be pretty even better. All right. So one of that option with the NFID, you can now share your Wi-Fi password with other friends. So I'm going to give you an example of how it works. I can't show the actual demonstration because I don't have another iOS 11 device to show you this. All right, because this only works with the iOS 11. So when you go into settings, and you know how you go to the Wi-Fi area?
Wi-Fi, Mickey House.
Button. Okay. So you can hear the Wi-Fi, the Mickey House. That means it's hooked up to my network on my house. So if I have a friend that comes over to my house and never used my Wi-Fi before, and I want to give them my password, you can give them the standard password, but you can take advantage of your NFID now. So I'm going to go double tap in here.
Selected. Settings. Back button.
So what you do is your friend would bring up the Apple settings, go to Wi-Fi, and then he or she would just keep swiping down until they find the SSID of the house. So in my case, it's the Mickey House. So I'll go down to it.
Wi-Fi, selected, Mickey House, secure network, signals.
Now, and once they see that, all they have to do is double tap that. And I'm going to use somebody else's around this area as an example, but if they were to come to my house, they would just double tap on that, and then
more info.
I'm going to show choosing you.
Network. More info. Choosing network. At 7FJQ. More info. At
okay.
7FJQ.
Here's somebody's in the neighborhood. I don't know. So if I'm going to their house and I'm going to hook up to their Wi-Fi, you just double tap this.
Password. Password.
And then it asks for a password. This is where it typically asks you for a password, and this is where you enter the password, right? Well, you don't have to do that. When it comes up and it says, what's the password? What you do is you put your phone, so my friend that wants to hook up to my network, he would put his phone near to my phone when he is at that password prompt. And on my phone, there will be a box that comes up and it says, hey, do you want to confirm and sharing your password? And you just say yes, and then it goes, boom, onto their phone's. Kind of like almost like an AirDrop scenario where it just pops up with some boxes on both sides, and then he/she suddenly gets the password. So it's easy, easy peasy. So without giving them some encrypted, really long, unnecessary passwords some of these routers give you, you can now just put your phone against your friend's phone, and they get that you can share your password to your Wi-Fi. Of course, I have to be hooked up to the Mickey House to make this work. So I have to be on that network, and then if that person doesn't have it, They just go to the Mickey House, double tap it, ask for a password. I put the two phones together. It prompts me. I say yes and agree. And then it goes over to their phone and prompt them. And then, boom, they have access to the wireless. Hope I made that good sense of that. The other option I want to tell you, the NFID, again, I don't have an iOS 11 device to do this, but in the setup process, so when you get a brand new phone, this is really cool. During the process, I think it's like in the first or second step in the setup, it will say, put your old phone against the new iPhone that you just purchased. And what will happen, it will just communicate with each other, and I'll know who I am and what I am, and I'll take all that information and put it in the setup, and boom, you're done. There's no more next. It does exactly what that phone is set up. So let's just say I go get the new iPhone 8 at the store. So all I got to do is go to the store, get my iPhone 8, go to the second process somewhere in that steps, take my old phone and put it near the new phone. All that information gets transferred to the new phone, and then I'll set up exactly what you have on your old phone. Another great example of NFID. Really, really cool. Now, the Apple Pay NFID had one improvement I want to tell you since we're speaking with the NFID. If you want to send money to each other, to other friends, they have that ability now. It won't be turned on until the release date of the public iOS 11, but there should be a Apple Pay button that you can click on, and you can submit money to your friends and whatever not using the whatever you have in the Apple Pay in your wallet. So in my case, it's my debit card. So it will take money out of the debit card and pay my friends. So if I owe them 10 bucks, I say we go out to lunch. I said, hey, I'm going to pay you 10 bucks. He says, okay. And then what I would do is I would compose a message, an iMessage, and then within that, I'll put their name on there, and then I'll put the Apple Pay, tell them how much I want to give them, and then send the message. And they will get a prompt, say, hey, somebody gave you 10 bucks, and would you like to redeem this? And this will go into something called Apple Pay Card, I believe it is, and wallet. It's kind of a weird, obscure thing. It's kind of a new thing. I'm not quite sure how it all works, but it goes into some sort of an Apple Card that where the money is at. My understanding, you can use that to pay. You can buy things from iTunes and movies or apps and stuff like that. But my understanding is you can also put that into your account of choosing, but with a 3% fee if you want to take advantage of that. So if you want to deposit that back into your bank account, it'll just cost you a 3%. Not too bad. That's a pretty regular fee when you come to use this kind of a service, but I just want to make a mention of that. So those are all the old new things that you can do with your NFID. There is now a new emergency SOS settings within the Apple settings. The emergency SOS kind of combined a few things, and there's one new thing. Basically, when you want to make an emergency call to your fire department or ambulance service, we have something here called 911. And if you recall on the old iOS, if you do a rapid session to your sleep-wake button for 5 times, it makes the call and initiates the 911 automatically for you. But there's a new thing in within the emergency SOS as well. So I'm going to show this something to you here. So not only do you have a new emergency SOS option, so as you're going to hear,
emergency SOS button.
All right, so there's a button there. So if you double tap on this,
selected settings.
So obviously you can turn this on or off, but I'm going to show you what's new in this that you didn't have before. So emergency. I'm going to go down here.
Rapidly click the sleep/wake auto call off.
Mm-hmm.
You may still need to specify an emergency service. Set up emergency contacts in health button.
Okay, this is a new option. So you can set up an emergency contact on your health. So I'm going to have it describe it to you.
Emergency SOS will notify emergency contacts with messages that say you have called emergency services. These messages also include your current location. You can set up emergency contacts for emergency SOS in your medical ID in the health app. Above emergency SOS and privacy. Link.
This is a pretty cool option. So if you go back left.
Set up emergency contacts in health. Button.
So in health, as you know, you already have this emergency ID information and things like that. But one more service to it. If you initiate the rapid session 5 times to make the 911 call for emergency, it will automatically send a message to anybody that's on your contact that you want them to know that you initiated the 911 call. This is going to be a really helpful feature. So that way, not only does it call 911, but it also contacts just your loved ones, and it'll send a message to them that you have initiated the 911 call, and it tells them exactly where your location is. This is going to be really, really fantastic for all you ladies out there and girls. I would highly recommend turn this on, so that way if something ever happens, this would be great for my mom too. So she gets older, and if something happens, she wouldn't have to take the time out to call me that something happened, or she's in a situation where she can't call me. This will initiate it automatically and contacted me automatically. So this is a neat feature. It's kind of hidden in there, and I wanted to show that to you. I thought it was a pretty good highlight and a feature that I want to share with you. There is a new AirDrop settings within the Apple setting, and so it's all by itself now. So you can find this, go into Apple settings, go to General, and then you find the AirDrop
button.
And then once you double tap this,
selected General. Back button.
You have the three options how you want the AirDrop to work. So this is a nice little area that you can now control how AirDrop works. And it's all by itself now. So it isn't completely hidden away as it was before. So you still have the three options.
AirDrop. Heading.
I can go here and show you.
Selected. Receiving off.
So you can have it either off.
Contacts only.
Contacts only.
Everyone.
Or to everyone. So essentially, they just made AirDrop by itself as a standalone setting that you can have and go to now. And so it's not buried inside like the older iOS. I want to point that out because if some of you use AirDrop like I do, so I couldn't figure out where it was. And so it's now has its own section. Here's another really nice feature. I like this quite a bit myself. I'm used to this from the Apple TV myself. Those that don't have Apple TV, what the really cool thing is that they have something within the settings where you can set up your TV provider. And they have included this into the iOS now, just for the iOS. It is located in the Apple settings, and we're going to go down to the TV provider.
TV provider button.
And then I'm going to double tap on this.
Settings. Back button.
Okay. Essentially, what this does for those that have never used this on Apple TV, let's just say I'm an AT&T UVerse cable subscriber. Okay. So have you ever downloaded like ESPN, ABC, to all these different apps, and they want to know what your provider is, what's the password in the account, in the credentials, so you could be able to use that app? Well, they have made this so much more simpler for us, just like they did on Apple TV. This is great. This is where you can set up that option. So essentially, I'll find the AT&T and double tap on that, and I'll ask for my credentials, and I'll set this up. And what it does is that anytime an app that is created and developed with the new iOS 11 that takes advantage of this TV provider settings, what it'll do, it'll just take that information out. So when I download ESPN, open it up, it knows I'm an AT&T user, so I don't have to enter all that stuff every time I download that needs my cable provider information. How cool is this? So this is a really nice feature I liked a lot. This is a pretty darn big list, I will warn you. I'll show you a few things here.
TV provider, heading.
And if you go to the right.
Table index, adjustable.
You have your table
swipe
index.
Up or down with AT&T UVerse.
So the first one is AT&T UVerse.
CenturyLink Prism, Charter Spectrum, Comcast Xfinity, Crux.
There's so many providers. There's hundreds in here. So be sure to use the table index at the very right hand of the screen. You just tap
table index. Adjustable.
You get your table index.
So swipe
you
up can or down just, with one finger to adjust the.
Now you can go to your letters.
A, B, C. All select right. Cable Services Inc. Cable Systems. Cable America.
And that's everything with a C. So you get the idea. So you just double tap on that.
Select it. TV provider. In progress.
And you wait.
Username. Email
and
address.
And then this is the area where you put your credentials in. And once you saved it, it's saved. And the next time you open up ESPN or download ESPN and you haven't put the credentials in, it'll automatically fill it in. That's if the ESPN has the developer behind those particular apps have taken advantage of this new iOS 11 TV provider setting. So I wanted to show that to you. It's going to save us a lot of time, a lot of headaches trying to remember what ID and password we use for all these cable things. So this is a great new feature. All right, there is a new app. Well, sort of. If you remember in iOS 10, we had the iCloud Drive app. Well, they have done away with the iCloud Drive app, but don't worry, they came out with a new app called Files. It is a new app. It's redesigned. It's got all sorts of new things you can do within the Files. I'm not going to give you a whole in-depth what you can do in Files, but I'm going to just show you a few things what you can do in Files that you can take advantage and use. All right, I'm going to go to Files here.
Files.
Okay.
Double tap open.
All right.
Files. iCloud Drive. Back button.
Okay. So obviously, the first thing it's going to do is going to dump you into the iCloud Drive. So let me show you some examples I have here. I have a few files in here, so I'm just going to swipe to the right.
Clear Vision. Heading.
All right. Clear Vision.
Select. Button.
All right. So Clear Vision is a folder that I have in my iCloud Drive. So I'm going to go ahead and double tap in there. Clear Vision is the name of my consultant company.
Clear Vision. Heading.
And
Clear Vision. Heading.
And I'm going to go to the right.
Select. Button. Search. New folder. Button. Sorted by name. Selected. List view. Certification of receipt of services. 1/11/6. JAWS lessons. 2/5/16.
Okay. So here's a JAWS lessons that I give to my students. So let's just double tap here.
Selected.
And I'm going to show you a couple of things here.
JAWS lessons. Select. Button. Search. New folder. Button. Sorted by name. Selected. List view. Basic to Microsoft Outlook 2013, 9/21/50.
So this is a file. Obviously, you can do all sorts of things with it, which is just really cool. So I can just do a swipe up here.
Drag item.
I can drag this around. If there's multiple things in the folder, you can drag them around and move them.
Info.
You can find the information more about it, like when it was created, what extensions and things like that.
Tags.
You can tag it.
Share.
And this is one of my new favorite things. You can share the file. Yes, I can actually share this file. I can send it off to email, Twitter, all sorts of different aspects that I couldn't do before. So I really like this new feature. That's a nice one.
Delete.
And obviously, you can delete it.
Move.
Move it.
Rename.
Rename it. Just like any typical drive in the cloud, you would expect to be able to rename it, move it, copy it, cut it, whatever, have not, edit it, all that. You can do that in the iCloud Drive aspect of the Files app. So if I go one more up,
duplicate
it,
copy
it,
delete, activate default,
and then I can activate it. So if I activate it, it'll open the file up,
selected,
basic, and then I can read
it. Basic to Microsoft Outlook 2013, heading.
Mm-hmm.
Share button.
Share that again.
Basic keyboard shortcuts for Microsoft Outlook 2013. Basic navigation. Switch to mail. Ctrl+1.
So there are my text file there that I'm able to read and review and do whatever I want with it. Now, there is one more aspect to the files I want to show you.
Done.
I'm going to go back to done. Top left.
Back button.
I'm
going
to go
clear vision.
Back.
Back button. Sprint Wi-Fi network. iCloud Drive. Back button.
I'm going to go back.
iCloud Drive. Locations. Back button.
Okay, I'm going to go all the way back.
Browse. Heading.
All the way back to the beginning. I'm going to show you something here.
Edit. Button. Search. Search field.
Keep going to the right.
Locations. Selected. iCloud Drive.
You got the iCloud Drive. Now, the cool thing about this, and I like this to a point, and I'll explain it to you in a moment here, I can add other cloud services to this. Really awesome. For example, I went ahead and hooked up
Dropbox
to my Files app. That is really neat. You can put Microsoft OneDrive and et cetera. Those are available. Hopefully, it'll start to expand to include other services. So it's in its infancy at this point when it gets released in iOS 11, but nonetheless, it's there. However, I will say, as of the GM version, now the version that comes out to the public may differ. I hope it does. If it doesn't, I hope that they will implement more of a full features, as I'm about to show you and explain here. Okay, so when I go to the Dropbox.
Selected. iCloud Dropbox. Level 1.
Double tap.
In progress. Dropbox.
And I'll go to full file here.
Apple Vis Podcast. Clear Vision.
Here's my Clear Vision. So that's a different folder in my Dropbox. I'll go in there.
Selected. Dropbox. Cancel.
I can see what I put in here.
Search this folder. Back. But Clear Vision. Certification of receipt of service. Manning. Lesson 2. Phone list for clients.
So that is all the files, right? However, the bummer part as of the GM is that it is nothing but a simple point to the file. So what I'm saying is that I can only just double tap it, look at it, read it, and that's it. I can't do anything with it. So if I use the rotor, it just does the drum snare. Supposedly, my understanding is that it's supposed to get the same full functionality feature that we get with the iCloud Drive section that I just did, and you were able to move it, duplicate, rename it, copy it, and all that stuff. But for some weird reason, it's not that case when you're using Dropbox, OneDrive, anything, and none of that feature is working at this time. So I hope that isn't a permanent thing, and they will add abilities to be able to be more functionality. Let's hope. So when you hear this podcast and you get the actual download of the public, hopefully it's full featured. If it isn't, then you'll understand why I was kind of like, what's the point? Yeah, it's great to be able to see my files, but I can't do anything with it. So I can open it within other apps on my phone, which is helpful. Obviously, and of course, you can just put it into your iCloud Drive, which they want you to force and use. I get that. But anyway, that is going to do for the Files app. So that is a really nice new feature. I like it. If they implement everything with a full stuff features like they did with the iCloud Drive, this is going to be really fantastic, and I'm going to be using this pretty heavily. Well, there you have it. Those are the highlights that I have presented to you. Obviously, there's much, much more in iOS 11 for you to find out on your own. There's a variety of podcasts that I have covered what's new in iOS 11. Be sure to check them out. And there are going to be many, many little things you will find in iOS 11. And there's just lots and lots of them. And I'm just not able to cover everything. But I just wanted to at least give you some of the highlights that I think was prudent and informative that the people would like to hear for themselves. So again, my name is Thomas Donville, also Nana Mouse, and that's going to do for what's new in iOS 11 for this podcast. Goodbye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the community of Apple Vis. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applevis.com.